Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
It says, you saw that your strength lies in your intimacy with God. And the synonyms for intimacy is affection, confidence, familiarity, friendship, acquaintance, affinity, communion, experience, close relationship. That's what that means, that word, intimacy. You want to get closer to God. You want to have an intimate relationship. Intimacy, into me, see. Jesus wants you to see who he is. He wants you to be right there up close and personal with him. That's what he's looking for. And when you get to that place, everything changes. Everything changes. It has to change. It's got to change. Oh, my Lord. Your battle is won in the presence of God, not on the battlefield. And we saw that in Psalm 91. Remember, we looked at Psalm 91. They that dwell in the shadow of the Most High God don't fear any evil. You're in his presence. In his presence, I don't have to fear anything. Amen. And incidentally, the kingdom of God is within you. So you never leave his presence, to be quite honest. Amen. When I go that way, I go with the Holy Spirit. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You understand? I go with the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He's with me all the time. It doesn't come and go. Amen. But in the battlefield, when you're sitting there, your sword's going and you're fighting and they're coming against you and the doctor's saying and there's blood and guts flying all over the show, you can't be stopping and say, "Yea, Lord, I lovest thou." You're too busy defending yourself and running and trying to kill. You need to get that quiet, private, personal time with the Lord and just speak to him right over here. I'm telling you. And all you do is just, "Father," that's soft. "Father," he's there. Yeah. And Psalm 91 tells you so much good stuff. I mean, the Bible is just so incredible. It's just so amazing. I mean, it's just so much. It's Holy Spirit breathed and inspired. And the Bible says his word is even above his name. Amen. And the Bible says Jesus has a name above every name. In other words, above cancer and bankruptcy and all kinds of stuff, death. His name is above all of that. And he says, and my word is even above that. My name. And he says, my word is forever settled in heaven. Forever settled. He says, my word cannot come back void. It cannot come back without accomplishing. It's got to do what I said it'll do. So when I'm in faith and I get that word and I'm mixing with the word and Jesus is the word, oh my Lord, we got so much power. We just don't know it. Amen. We got so much that God's given us. We, the authority of the believer. And this is very different to what most churches teach. The authority of the believer. We believe that we have the authority. God is sovereign. We know that. But he's sovereign over his word. He's sovereign over the end times. We're going to see the Antichrist. We're going to see the false prophet. We're going to see all of that stuff take place. It's all going to happen. There's going to be a trumpet, a blast of a trumpet, and people are going to be raptured. It's all in the Bible. And then Jesus is going to come back on a white stallion with his name written down his side. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings on his thigh. And he's going to bring back the righteous with him, all on horses too. And put a stop to this crazy stuff. It's going to happen. But when it comes to my life, God gave me authority over my own self. I can make a decision to do something or not do it. Choice is mine. The choice is 100% mine. It's not God's. Because people that get that, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Those people are in trouble all the time. And then they say, well, God's sovereign and this is part of his plan. It's not part of his plan. His plan is to give you a perfect end, a future and a great end. Amen. That's what his plan is. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of good and not evil to give you an expected end, a hope and a future. Amen. He's got great plans for us. But now all we got to do is follow his leading, follow the unction of the Holy Spirit, live according to the word as best you can, repent when you need to repent, forgive if you need to forgive, walk in love because we need to walk in love, and then move forward. And you make decisions. You choose. I bind sickness out of my life. I loose healing power into my life. God says, what you do, I'll back you 100%. Authority of the believer. We believe the finished work of the cross, and we believe Jesus, giving the demonstration, said to the disciples, that tree that I cursed, the fig tree, remember? Bible says he went there to get some fruit off it. Perhaps there was some because he was hungry. And he walked there and this tree was lying because it had leaves. And if it had leaves, it's supposed to have fruit. It had no fruit. It just had leaves. And he looked at that and he said, no man will eat fruit from you ever. And the part that is really important here is it says, and his disciples heard what he said. You see, he was teaching. Now, Jesus was the greatest teacher. And then they go into Jerusalem. He does some business in the temple. They come out past that tree the same day, right? Second time now they've seen the tree. Nothing. Nothing's happened. No difference. That tree still looks like the tree it was when he spoke to it. They come back the next day going back into Jerusalem, and behold, the tree has died. And Peter says, look, Lord, the tree that you cursed has withered from the ground. That's what happens with you in the spiritual realm. When you curse sickness in the spiritual realm, you don't see it. It's died. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't go back and say, go check if the tree's dead. Go check if the tree's dead. Go take pictures. Go check if the tree's dead. Go and see if that thing's laying over yet. He didn't do that. He spoke in faith. He knew his words would be fulfilled. And that was it. Amen. That was it. And then he said, now listen, what I've done, you can do. He said, if you say to that mountain of sickness, mountain of debt, mountain of whatever it is, if you say to that thing, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but you shall believe those things which you sayeth, you shall have what things soever you say. He says, therefore, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. That's how you cast the mountains into the ocean. That's how you cast the Goliaths into the ocean. That's how you cast cancer into the ocean. That's how you cast no money ever into the ocean. You speak faithful words. He said, my word is forever settled in heaven. Take responsibility for your own life. Just take it. But let me tell you what, it's going to, you're really, when you get into God's presence, when you start to meet God, you know, I've been through stages in my life. There was one time in South Africa, I'll never forget it. I was a worship leader of a pretty decent sized church, and things were going really well, and I had steakhouse, and things were just going really well. And then all of a sudden, I felt so far from God. I just felt I wasn't saved. Ever felt that? I just felt I might not be saved. And there was the devil lying to me. You see, but I knew better by this stage because I had gone through a lot of stuff at that point. So I just said, devil, you're a nothing. And God came into my room. He came into my room. I'll never forget it in my life. In fact, I was in the bathroom. And he just started to love on me like it was tangible in my life. Was like tangible. I like God was there. He was massaging me, loving me, joking with me, and my whole demeanor changed. Everything in my life changed. I just, what a power. And that held me strong for so long. It was another time I was just praying for a situation in South Africa, and I couldn't stop praying in the spirit. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop. I've been praying a long time. I wanted to stop now, but I couldn't stop. And all of a sudden, I remember God coming into the room. And I ended up draped over my couch. I couldn't move. I couldn't stand. Do you know how long that has carried me in my life? Do you know how much one time in his presence, what it will do for your life? It carried me through many situations. Now, it's so easy. I don't have to sit there and plan it and work it out. I just go downstairs to my office. I say, Father, I love you. Boom! Everything's opened up. We can all get to that place. And he wants us to get to that place. Now, Psalm 91 lines up with Matthew 6:31 and also Luke 12:31. Matthew 6:31, out of the Passion, listen to this. So then forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Or how are we going to pay our mortgage? Or how am I going to get healed? Or how can I break this addiction? or how do I work out my relationship, or I need a job, or how do I get the education, or how can I complete what I started, or what about my children, or what about this, or what about that? Add your list. You've all got a list. He says, forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat, what and how? Look what he says, verse 32. For that is what the unbelievers, you see that, chase after. They chase after that. God is saying their focus is in the wrong area. Look what he says here. For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? Do you think God knows what I need? I mean, there's scripture that says he knows my thoughts before I think them. In fact, there's scripture that says every one of my days was written in his book before the foundation of the earth. Amen. You think God knows I have a need for financial blessing? Amen. Do you think God knows that this cancer wrecking my body needs to be taken out? Do you think God knows my children, my finances, my job? Do you think God knows my spouse? Do you think he knows everything about me? Of course he does. He knows how many hairs you got on your head. Or if you haven't got hair, he knows how many follicles are in your mind, inside there. Right? I'm serious. Think about that. How many of you love your spouse just to the end of the world? Put your hand up high. Okay. Do you know how many hairs I've got on my head? Do any of you know how many hairs your spouse has got on their head? No. He knows. He actually knows. That's not just a Satan. He actually, truly, really knows. Come on. Think about that. He says, doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? Yes, Lord. Yes, you know. Okay, I got it. You know everything about me. You know what I need. You know the money. I need it today. I need it yesterday. ASAP, Lord. Hello. Right? I used to be a buyer for De Beers Industrial Diamonds, one of my first jobs ever. And the guys would come to me and say, I want this. And I say, when do you need it by? They say, yesterday. Always. I was always buying under pressure. When do you need it? Yesterday. And that's how we are with God. Lord, I need it yesterday. I need it yesterday. He's been dead 4 days already. I needed it 4 days ago. You're late. You're late. And what did he do? He raised Lazarus up. Amen. Now watch here. So what I have to do, Lord, you know everything. You know what I need. So what do you suggest? I mean, you are God. What do you recommend I do in order to fulfill all those needs that I have? Look what he says, verse 32. 3. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. He's telling you, listen, he's telling you, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I start seeking God, I want to get closer to God. I want to know you more. I want to be like David, that you say after my own heart is a heart after your own heart. I want that. And David he sinned a lot as well, right? Right? So did we all, right? And he still said that about David. Come on, I want that same. But David would say, Lord, just to spend one day in your presence, I'd rather have that than 1,000 years anywhere else. I mean, that heart, that attitude, just to get close to God. Can I get close to him? Yes. He says, above all, constantly chase after God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Above all, stop seeking after those things that the unsaved are seeking after, or even saved people are seeking after. Seeking after money, seeking after fame, seeking after ministry, seeking after peace, seeking after health. He says, stop chasing that stuff. Chase me. Chase me. Go after me. And all those things that they all want, all of them will be added to you abundantly. I'm telling you, you can't beat getting close to God. He's going to touch your life in ways unimaginable.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to ChristFamilyChurch.net or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. in our beautiful Tradition Town Hall facility.
Highway 55, Burger Shakes and Fries, a proud corporate underwriter of WCNO, is a 50-scene, old-fashioned diner that takes you back to the old days where you can enjoy a fresh burger, fries,